Welcome to the Section 3 Review, Effective Coaching Tools. In this section, we covered tuning in, delivering powerful questions, responding intuitively, and developing strong support systems. Of each of these lessons, Rhonda, which is the most important, do you think?
Definitely tuning in. Well, it's incredibly important to remember that coaching is a conversation. There are two people in this conversation, not just the coach, but the coach and the client. So with tuning in, you want to really be listening through the whole session as if you're having a conversation, and you're going to be ready to respond naturally when the other person stops talking.
I can remember when I first started coaching, I knew that I should do that, but what I was most concerned about was what I was going to say next. How do you get over that?
Somebody told me a long time ago that it's best to stop performing and start connecting. And it really is about connection, staying connected in the moment with your client, making sure that you're not thinking ahead, trying to figure out what you're going to say. And you can really tell you're going into that performance mode if you start getting tripped up or if your client starts disengaging. They don't really understand your question. They don't really know what you're saying to them. Maybe you can hear a little hesitation in their voice. You have to be listening to hear that.
Right. I came from a background in consulting, and I was always trying to prepare for my coaching sessions and almost put a small agenda together. And I learned very quickly that I was missing out on great opportunities because the conversation is not going to go where I thought it was going to go. And then by listening, I was able to pick up on better questions than I had pre-prepared.
Yeah, nobody wants to have a scripted coaching session. It's no fun. And that goes back to that performance piece. If you are trying to plan ahead, then you're really preparing, presenting. You know, that's not what coaching is.
Right, right.
Yeah. So staying in the moment is going to help you a lot more to really engage with that client and make something happen in the moment. That's the magic of coaching, and that's how it's fun.
So tuning in, which has a lot to do with listening.
Absolutely.
Listening skills.
It really is listening. It's listening in the moment to what the client is saying, maybe what they're not saying, sometimes the tone of their voice, the energy that comes with what they're saying. And you'll want to also listen to the little still voice within yourself. It's probably your intuition might come from a place that's nowhere near your brain. You know, we tend so much to come up into our heads and think. And oftentimes that's what trips us up because we start making assumptions. We start hijacking the agenda. So if you stay really more in your heart or your kind of your gut, actually, where you can kind of be warm and in the moment and then move forward into your response from a natural place.
Yeah, and those responses that you provide often come, or most often anyway, come in the form of a question, right?
Absolutely. Questions, sometimes statements, but most often in coaching it's best if it's questions, especially open-ended questions. Questions that will move the client somewhere and bring more information out for you to respond to. If you're always making statements or what I would call leading questions where you're saying, well, so then you feel blah, blah, blah. You know, if you're saying it that way where you're leading them into what you think, then you're limiting the scope of what they're going to provide you with and limiting their response.
And it's good to repeat back to them in different words or in a clarification sort of way what they did say, because oftentimes it's probably the first time that they've voiced this externally a lot of times if it's something that's really important to them.
Absolutely, and it's really important for them to hear back what they've said. That reflection really helps them to understand what they're thinking, what they're feeling, and usually any kind of shift that comes in the session is going to come as a result of them realizing some piece of intelligence or wisdom that maybe they didn't really realize they had. Our reflecting back as a coach, reflecting back what they say, is going to really give them that mirror that they need to make something happen for themselves.
My favorite coaching tool is questions, because I learned that's what takes the pressure off. The performance anxiety piece of being a coach, which we all feel, and being able to ask questions is a perfect way to keep the conversation going and take the pressure off you as the coach.
It's really true. Questions are an amazing thing. Asking an open-ended question in a way puts you in control because you're lobbing the session right back to the client.
Almost like a tennis match.
Almost like a tennis match. And that's a lot of what it is, really, that actually, even more than a tennis match, maybe practicing tennis, where you're not trying to win. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no...
That's a good point.
There's no one really winning here, you know. It's a win-win. But what you're really doing is feeling the ease and grace of that ball coming across the net and hitting right in the center of your racket, and then you're hitting it back across. So in the same way with coaching, you want to listen and wait for that information to come. Let it hit you in your heart center. Respond back very easy and gracefully with something natural. Kind of response that you would have, not if you're interviewing somebody,
sure,
but rather if you're having a conversation with somebody. You're going to respond to what they said. Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And then maybe ask your question.
So a good coaching session is like a tennis game or practicing tennis in the fact that you're volleying.
Yeah, you're volleying.
It's that back and forth. It's a smooth, effortless volley that makes a good session.
Back and forth across the net, back and forth between you and the client. Easy, graceful, effortless in a conversation. And now and then you're going to have something powerful you really want to say, something that is a question that just really hones right in on the coachable moment.
Talk about that coachable moment, if you will, because it's kind of out there. You know,
it's
hard to define, but boy, when you hit it, when you learn to listen for it and look for it and find it, boy, it's really powerful.
You know what? It's something that you have to feel and experience. So the way to learn where the most valuable coachable moments are is to coach a lot. The more you coach, the more you'll start to feel that groove. And the groove is when you hear that sort of aha, again, that still small voice inside of you, not the big brain, but the smaller voice that says, oh, that's something. There's something to check into there. The little aha moment is the coachable moment. And that's when a powerful question is going to really take off and let your client explore that.
Let's talk about silence, too, because as we're talking about volleying and questions, silence can be almost even more powerful at the right moment, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's times when your client says something that you're going to want a few beats to pass before you jump right in. And there's also times where you won't have readily available for you what you want to say. As a matter of fact, that's good. It means that you're really listening. So a few beats of silence let your client know, I've heard you, and I'm processing what you're telling me, and I'm getting ready to respond.
The silence thing is very uncomfortable sometimes because you almost feel like, especially if you're coaching by phone, that dead air or that lack of anything going on is almost, it shouldn't be there. But in fact, I think that's even more powerful, especially when your client says something outrageous or controversial or self-depreciating. It's better not to say anything, just to let them hear that echo back in their own mind and maybe start to question whether they really meant that or not. And then when you come in, it's like you're not coming in cold. They've already pre-thought what they've already said.
Exactly, because in coaching, you really want the client to be doing most of the discovering, most of the work, where you're facilitating it. You're just giving a little bit of a push, a little draw here or there. And that silence, as you say, reflects back to them, sort of echoes back to them. And then pretty soon, they're realizing on their own what they need to do, how they need to shift, and they're making that happen for themselves.
Let's talk a little bit about making the client do the work. Because as a coach, some of us feel like we really have to lead. And how is it that you get the client to do the work and take the responsibility?
You know, I think the first thing is really an attitude shift, to know that this isn't about you and it's not about what you know or you being so smart and so wise or having all the answers for them. And once you can really let go of that and know that it's the client's wisdom and intelligence that's really going to move them forward, it's easier to act from that place. It's really a matter of inviting the client to do the work through open-ended questions, powerful responses that are in the moment. You know, coming back to the same pieces, really, It all works back into really listening and tuning in. If you are really hearing what your client has to say and you're trusting that they've got the answers for themselves, then it's natural for your client to do the work.
So what do you do with clients that want you to give them the answers?
Yeah, there are times where clients will ask you a direct question. Well, what do you think about? And
And it's tough often not to give them the answer you're thinking, right?
Absolutely, you know, because we're so used to in our culture being the leader, being the big brain. That's what I call it. So I think that, first of all, you have to recognize that they're asking you a question and maybe appreciate the question and say, oh, that's a good question. And I'm interested in knowing, what's your answer to that? How would you respond to that? If you can, turn it around to them first. If they really press you hard for an answer, well, then you may need to give your opinion. But I think it's good to always let a client know, you know, from where I sit, this is how I think. I'm more interested in how you think. That's what's really going to matter here.
I remember one time a client asked me what I thought they should do. And I wasn't going to fall into that. And so after a moment, I said, well, what do you think you should do? And of course, their response was, well, I don't know. And I don't know why I said it, but I said, well, if you did know, what would you do? And I was amazed. They went right into it. And it was, I just said that because I didn't know what to say. And as you said, they have the answers within them. And it's just hard to get them out sometimes.
I think that when a client says, I don't know, they do know. And of course, we don't want to throw it back in their face rudely. Oh, come on, you do know. I think the way you did it was so graceful. And it was friendly and curious. When somebody says, I don't know, I imagine that what's really happening is that they do know, but they're afraid to really acknowledge that knowing, to really buy into it. They need some sort of reflection about it.
And maybe they've never said it out loud before.
Absolutely.
It's just a thought that's rolled around in their head, and they know exactly what they would do. They're just maybe afraid to speak it or afraid to share it.
Sometimes you'll hear a throwaway comment. Well, I don't know, but I think blah, 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 blah. You know, and that's when you know that the client has a beat already on their solution. And so if you can put some of that silence in, a few beats of silence, and then say, listen to what you just said. You said, and maybe reflect it back to them so that they can hear it for themselves. And shine a light on that. Show them the wisdom in that. That's where the juice really is in coaching.
Let's talk a little bit about developing strong support systems. We just finished that in the last lesson.
Yeah, this is really an important piece for clients. Everybody needs support. And there's really two kinds of support, internal support and external support. And internal is really about support that they give themselves, support that comes from the inside, inner strength. And I think that's really the most important one, and it often gets overlooked in coaching. A lot of times what's missing for a client is strong commitment. Without strong commitment, without a really strong sense of I am going to succeed and I'm going to stay the course and I'm going to make this happen, they will fail.
Sometimes in the beginning they get caught up in the, I'm just trying this out phase. And it's easy to get caught up in that and then forget that once you really are a coach, and whether you realize it or not, you've committed to it, if you're still wearing that I'm just trying this out hat, then it becomes more difficult to be committed.
Well, you know, I love what you just said, Will, because you've turned this over to talking about coaches and their commitment, their internal support. I think you're absolutely right. As a new coach, it's really easy to forget that you've made a commitment to this and to have the attitude of, well, I can always let go of this. I can always put this down. I can always walk away. And while that's true, if as a coach you have a commitment to your business, to being successful, you will be. If you don't, you won't.